Good morning, everyone. Everyone awake? Ready for some BI? Yeah? Yeah, okay, good. Good. Okay, so we'll get started. There might be a few more who trickle in. My session said that it had like 125 people signed up. I don't think we have 125 people here. But that's what happens when you have an 8:30 a.m. session. So what I'm going to be talking about a little bit today is Excel Enhanced. Another way of saying we've taken Excel, we've made it a little bit better, especially when you're thinking about business intelligence. So how many of you are aware of the power tools that have been put into Excel over the past few years? Okay, a few of you. So we're gonna be talking a good bit about those, and then a little bit about Power BI. I will tell you we're not going to be focused on Power BI. And when I say Power BI, let's be very clear. Power BI is the service add-on to Office 365. So in the browser rather than in Excel. There's a lot of confusion around that. And probably the naming conventions didn't make it any easier when we called everything in Excel Power something and then had a separate service that was called Power BI. So I take responsibility for that one. But yeah, so what I'll be doing in this session is really just walking through, okay, first of all, what are we doing with Office? What are we doing with business intelligence? Then kind of walk through, what do we have in Excel today? So what are the different pieces, you know? And when it comes to end-to-end, you know, when you're discovering data, analyzing data, visualizing data, what can you do in Excel? And so I'll kind of level set with you on what we can do there, show off some of the new capabilities we have there. So a lot of demo in that portion. And then we will have a little bit at the end on Power BI for Office 365, just in terms of what we've done in Excel and then being able to share it out on the web and within an organization. That's where we talk about Power BI. But there are a bunch of other sessions throughout this conference that are covering Power BI. I think there's a Power BI overview session either today or tomorrow. And that would be a good one to just kind of supplement your knowledge there to really learn about like things like scheduled data refresh, data management gateway, a lot of the stuff that maybe you as IT pros would care about in terms of Office 365 and management of data sources. So at the end, I'll just try to leave a little bit of time to go over some of the resources that we have, as well as give you guys some time for questions. So where are we today? So Office is kind of investing in a lot of different things. You know, we realize that there's a dynamic workplace, there's devices. You know, there've been a bunch of different sessions, including the keynote, that cover, you know, the variety of devices that Office is working on. So we have, you know, obviously Office for iPad now. We have, you know, Office for Android coming at some point. New touch-optimized devices for Windows. There's really compliance and controls, also something covered in the keynote yesterday, in terms of, you know, MDM, controlling those devices, DLP. But really, when we're talking about analytics everywhere, that's where this session falls in. And really being able to analyze the vast volumes of data that are coming from different devices, you know, consumers are putting out tons of data, and we need to be able to analyze that data. We have both data sources within our enterprise, as well as external to our enterprise, so public data sources. The public data movement is huge. So when we think about, you know, what this really means for us, it's really about self-service insights. How do we get insights from all of that data that I was just talking about? And it's, you know, small and big data. You know, big data is kind of a word that gets thrown around, and I think sometimes we don't realize that even the smallest data sets, you know, being able to analyze a simple table from the web can be difficult at times. So I think kind of stepping back a second and saying, hey, we can actually use the tools that we have today in Excel to be able to analyze any size of data that we have, both internal and external to our company. And then ad hoc reporting and analysis. So being able to allow end users to be able to create the reports on their own. And I have a slide on this just after this that really kind of describes that. But really that it's kind of a paradigm shift from what it used to be, where end users kind of had to wait on IT to provision data sets and then create reports for them. Now it's much more about self-service BI, being able to allow end users to connect directly to those data sources and be able to then create those reports that they need to make business decisions from the data at their disposal. Natural language query, so a lot of innovation in that space from Microsoft, and that's really where Power BI comes in, of being able to take data sets, create business logic, business synonyms that then end users can go in and start typing and get answers to their business questions right within Power BI. So I'll show a little bit of that as well. And then, of course, my favorite actually is the visualization and geomapping. So I was actually the product marketer on the project called Project Codenamed GeoFlow. How many heard of GeoFlow back when it was a research project? No one. Okay. How many of you have heard of PowerMap? Okay, a few of you. Okay, good. So we'll be able to show a little bit of the new PowerMap stuff today. Actually, I was here at TechEd Europe last year in Madrid, and there were a bunch of requests for what can we do in PowerMap. You know, you can do stuff in PowerView, but you can't do that in PowerMap, like filtering. And I have custom maps that my company needs, like a factory floor, and I want to visualize that. I don't want to look at it on a Bing map. We've done all that. So the team has gone off and actually added all those features that were requested last year at TechEd Europe. So really exciting stuff that we get to show you today. So as I mentioned, I won't spend a ton of time on this slide, but really when we think about the world of data, there's really kind of two shifts going on. There's the data explosion in big data. You know, there's different data types. So we'll see a little bit of that today when I'm bringing in data from different sources. You know, some of it is structured, some of it is unstructured. But really, we just want to be able to get insights from it. And that's the core here. And so tools like Power Query and Power Pivot allow us to be able to take both structured and unstructured data and be able to analyze it. And then also the volume of it. So being able to process in memory, Power Pivot is great for that because it's actually taking every, like a SQL database, and being able to process it all within Excel, which is great, compressing millions and millions of rows within one file. And then consumerization of IT, and that's really where this next slide comes in when we talk about BI. So traditionally, as we said, IT pros kind of go through this process. You know, they take existing data sources, line of business, data marts, files sitting on people's local machines, use ETL, data quality. They kind of go through staging of those data sources, get them into analysis cubes and data warehouses for those reports to then be provisioned out. And that's kind of a long process. And I think the guys on the right side would tell you, hey, that takes a little bit too long for me to make my business decisions in this world of, you know, as we said on the previous slide, lots and lots of data coming through and not a lot of time to make those business decisions and keep up in the marketplace. So really, this is what they want. Their end goal is those spreadsheets, specialized tools. And so really, we're breaking down these barriers of control with self-service BI. And that's kind of scary. I mean, I think some people see that and they're like, uh-oh, that's a big problem for us in our company. But really, it's about a balance. And I think there are players in this space who can do one or the other. You know, we look at the left side, corporate BI. Those are the guys that you already know about, like Oracle, IBM, SAP. They've been making money off BI for a long time. Then there's kind of niche startups. How many of you have heard of a company called Tableau? Yeah, so Tableau is all about that right side. They're a niche startup. You know, they started in the space of how do we make end users empowered to be able to go out, create reports on their own from various data sources. So really creating that arrow between those data sources and the visualization aspect. There's a bunch of other players in there that you've probably heard of and could name off. Can someone name a few other players who are in that space? ClickView, great one. That's the second one that comes to mind. Any others? No. Okay, so ClickView and Tableau are two big ones in that space. But really, when we think about who's able to deliver both the corporate BI piece, you know, with SQL Server, HD Insights, you know, some of those offerings, and then be able to develop the self-service BI with Excel and Power BI, it's really Microsoft. And so we're really about, you know, taking what we have in Excel, which is the tool that all end users already use. We can't kid ourselves. They're, you know, if they're using Tableau and ClickView, they're also probably using Excel for other things. But maybe they've become more comfortable with using those tools just because we haven't done a good job of getting the word out about the power of Excel right now. So when we think about Excel and self-service BI, let's kind of look at what we're going to be walking through today. So it's all about, first of all, discovering data sources, both internal, external to your company, analyzing them within Excel, not within SQL Server, not within anywhere else, all within that Excel environment, and then visualizing it. And visualizing it really, you can do that actually both within Excel, and we'll show you a little bit of that with Power View and Power Map, but then also being able to do that a little bit online with Power BI as well, and then sharing it out and getting answers. So, you know, sharing out through BI sites on Office 365, and then question and answer Q&A through Power BI. So this is just a quick summary of those tools, and we'll dive into each of them as we get into the presentation here. So first of all, discovery. Really, it's all about being able to easily discover data sources, transform those data sources. So when I say transform, I don't mean change the data. I mean actually take data into Excel, be able to clean it, mash it up, make it able to be analyzed by that end user. And so that's what we'll show you today with Power Query. So I'll be switching back and forth between slides and demo just so that we can kind of stay on the same page. If there are any questions while I'm walking through, feel free to stop me, and we can just take them as we go so that no one waits till the end and forgets their question. So what I'm going to do today is actually start soup to nuts. We're going to go from a blank Excel sheet all the way into visualizing and analyzing and visualizing data. So let's just start a blank workbook here. And so what you'll see here is Power Query in the tab. So this Power Query is an add-in as of now. The hope is to bring Power Query natively into Excel and really replace what we already had in the data tab. And so right now there's a little bit of a confusion, I think, among folks about, you know, why do you have the data tab? Why do you have Power Query? Why do you have Power Pivot as well? And they all kind of connect to data. Right now, it's just kind of in an odd spot. But as we think about, you know, the next release of Office and those types of things, you'll see them coming together into one experience for an end user to be able to connect to data. And so Power Query, I would say, if you could sum it up, is really the next generation of get data experiences within Excel. So what you see in the Power Query tab, and the thing about Power Query that I realized as I was prepping for this presentation is that team loves to release. They've been releasing updates basically every month. This is the most recent update of Power Query, and so the UI changes all the time, and they keep adding newer features to make that whole get data experience much better. And so the first thing you'll notice here is if we go in, you can see that I'm actually signed in to Power BI. And that's important to realize because what that's allowing me to do is connect to some of my corporate data sources that I've shared within my organization. So I'm not going to cover a bunch of Power BI in this presentation, but it's important to call that out because it's what allows me to access some of the data sets that I'll be using in this presentation. So the other thing about Power Query, so what we can see here is we have this whole get external data area over here. And so if I show you the dropdowns, you can see that there's multiple different data sources, and they actually keep growing. I mean, Exchange was just added recently. Power Query just added support for Salesforce.com data, which was a huge request from customers. That was just a few weeks ago, actually. We also connect to OData feeds. So in this one, we're actually going to show how to connect to dynamic CRM data. And so that'll be a big part of this. But really, there's no limit right now on the types of things that you can connect to. And if it's not there now, it'll probably be there by the time we officially release Power Query as a part of Excel. So feel free to give feedback on the data sources, because we'll get it back to the team. You can see these are kind of the traditional data sources when we think about SQL Server, Access databases, and then even just from local files. So like I said, a lot of end users just have local files sitting on their machine. I'll show how to do that as well. We have a CSV file, which that's sometimes small data, but it can be very hard to analyze small data in a CSV file if you don't have the right tools. And then from the web, and this is one of my favorites, actually, because what you can do is if you have an HTML table, you just type, copy-paste that HTML URL into this box, and it takes the table right out of there and into Excel in the format that you want it, in rows and columns. And then online search. Online search is a good one. And just to demonstrate kind of the power of online search and the data catalog that's being built up through online search, I can show you we have S&P 500. This is kind of a special data set that we've added to the catalog, and they keep building up some of these public data sources within the catalog. S&P 500 index, so you can bring in that. There's all kinds of other data sets. It kind of started off a year ago with just being Wikipedia data, and people were like, why is it just Wikipedia data? But really, they've started to make partnerships with other big data providers, mostly public data providers. This is Quandl.com is providing Google Finance data here. There's a number of other ones that have been added here. You can actually see here, and the logos show up on the right. This is census data, which is super, super important when we're thinking about, analyzing customers and across geographies and using some of this public data and mashing it up with some internal data as well. So in our case, we're actually not going to bring in any of these public data sets. What we're going to do is bring in some data sets that have been put into the data catalog, like I called out before. So what we'll do is just go to My Data Catalog Queries. And what you'll see is a list of queries that have been shared within my organization. So this could be IT. This could be end users like myself who've just shared this data out within the organization and said, hey, this is useful data sets for analysis by others in my organization. And so where this data is coming from, I'm going to show you two specific data sets coming from CRM. So we used an OData feed to be able to connect to this data set of active accounts and opportunities. So you can just see what that data looks like in CRM. I'm not going to go through the whole process of setting up the data feed, but really you can take my word for it that it's coming from here. So what we'll do is we'll grab two different data sets. Account set is the first one. And so what we'll do is you get the preview, and we'll say load to. And we're not gonna put it directly onto the worksheet. This is something that you need to explain the first time you do it. Really, what we're thinking about with Excel now is that it has an in-memory database. It's no longer just the worksheets that you see here. It's more about, hey, I have this database running in the background that I can load data sources into. And so that's exactly what I'm going to do right here. So we'll just say only create connections. So what that means is we're actually going to be able to refresh that data. So if there's new accounts that are added to that CRM database, show up right within Excel and within our analysis here. So we'll say add this data to the data model, load it up. We'll say You can see that it's coming from an OData feed. We'll say save. Oh, wants me to sign in. That's a good call out to say, hey, this is data set that has been provisioned just for me to be able to use. So you can limit permissions. So we're just going to grab password there. So while it's saving, any questions so far? How many of you use Power Query? Yeah, question there. It's a good question. So as of now, it cannot. It's all through the Power BI service. I think the team is thinking about what are other options to be able to share out a data catalog through on-prem SharePoint, but I can't commit right now to saying that there's going to be something like that in the near future. So you can see when I go into workbook queries, that account data set is being brought in. You can actually see the data set being loaded. It's detecting any relationships that are existing within that data set. And so you can see that 125 rows got added. And if I just want to check what that looks like, there it is. Looks exactly the same, actually, as if we go back to our dashboard here. Same data set. And so we'll bring in one more query from here, and that'd be our opportunities data set. And we'll just do the exact same thing we just did. You can just left click. So in a second, we'll see it start showing up there again. There you go. And so these could be data sets of any size. I mean, obviously the account set was only 125, but you know, some of the other data sets that we'll bring in could be millions and millions of rows. Because really we're not bringing it into Excel proper. I mean, Excel has the limit obviously of a million rows within a worksheet, but the data model in Power Pivot doesn't have that limitation because it's all compressed and in memory. So what we have is those two data sets, and what I'm going to do before I kind of move on is I want to show you not only can we just bring in data sets, connect to those data sets, we can also do some transformations on those data sets. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go from a file, from a CSV that's actually sitting locally on this machine, and I'm going to do a little bit of cleaning on it. And so here it is. And while it's doing that, so this is the query editor. This is where we do a lot of those transformations. You can see that it's actually automatically doing a little bit of cleaning on this file. And what I'll do is I'll show you what that file actually looks like, which is a little bit scary. Let's see if we can open it up. You know, it doesn't want to let me open it. Let's go back. You'll take my word for it. It's pretty messy data. It's a CSV file, but it cleaned it up. You can see, actually, if we go to source, you can see kind of what it looked like. It realized, hey, the first row should be the header. It changed the types. And still, there's a bunch of errors and things that we want to start cleaning up. And so what we're going to do is we're going to start doing a little bit of that right here. So we're going to go just over to country code. And just to call this out before I get started here, this is not just working within Excel. This is much more powerful. I mean, some people have used like FlashFill, you know, FlashFill in Excel 2013, and they're like, whoa, that's really cool. And then I'm like, well, you guys haven't seen Power Query because it's much better. I mean, this is shaping data sets, you know, in memory, very cool stuff. So what we're gonna do is we're just gonna remove errors here. And so just like that, we got rid of a bunch of those rows that had errors in them. They were mostly because they were kind of aggregations of other rows with counties and states. So what we'll do is then, one of the new features actually of Power Query is being able to not just, you know, select and remove columns within this viewer, but also you can choose which columns you want. And so that's really nice to be able to just say, hey, I have all these different columns of data. I don't really want all of those. What I want here is I just want to know of this population data, I just want to know about a specific demographic. I want to know about age 21 through 44 for male and female. So what we'll do is uncheck this, just grab state name, county name, don't need place, don't need totals on those. We're just going to grab the specific age groups that we're interested in. So male, 21, 22, 25, 30, 35, 40. Female, same thing. 21, 22, 25, 30, 35, 40. And that should be good. And what you're seeing here as it's doing that is it's applying all those steps. So like I was able to step through and see what the original source looked like, all these steps are being recorded as a query. And so we could actually go in and see the query language and replicate it if we wanted to on other data sets. We'll just rename this query while we're at it too. Just call it young adult population. And so now we're a little bit better. We're in a little bit better place with this data set. But one of my favorite features of Power Query is being able to pivot and unpivot data sets. And so being able to actually just select all of these different demographics and go to transform, unpivot, is super powerful. Now we have the value, which is the population. We can just change that to pop. Population. We can start splitting columns like this one. So because what we want is we want the gender and then we want the age. So we can just go split column by delimiter. And we want each occurrence of the colon that shows up there. What you'll see is we'll get different columns for each of those categories that we wanted. And should get there. And then so we can just rename this to gender, rename this to age. And we can just remove this one. And then we can also combine. So we just did a split. We can also combine these two. Say merge. And we want to separate it by a comma because that will allow us to have state and county as well. And actually, now that I think about it, let's move this. Because we want county. County's actually before state in terms of hierarchy, so we'd want to get that right. So we'll just move that back there. We'll hit merge columns again. And we'll hit comma. And so just like that, we've cleaned up that data set all within Excel using Power Query. And so we can just go back home and say close and load. And we'll do the same thing, just load it straight to the data model. And to be clear, the data model is within every version of Excel 2013. There's always a question about, if I don't have Power Pivot, do I still have a data model? Yes, you do. Because every version of Excel 2013 has the data model built into it. It's just Power Pivot is the way to visualize that data model and be able to create connections within that data model. So we'll load that into the data model, and while it's doing that, we will go back to the PowerPoint. And so what you saw there is being able to search and connect to data sets through a number of different types, you know, both internal, external to the organization, do a little bit of filter shaping and merging of data sets. And then, you know, making sure we call out, hey, the way that we're able to share queries within an organization is through Power BI. So now moving on to analyzing that data. Now that we have that data within Excel and the data model, how do we then go create relationships between the data sets and be able to really start visualizing it in reports? Here. So how many of you have used Power Pivot before? So Power Pivot's actually been around the longest of the power tools, and so not surprising that a few of you have used it. It was an add-in in 2010 and now built into Excel 2013 and will probably be built in for quite some time now in the next version. So if we go here to the Power Pivot tab, we just go Manage. And what you can see is, although we weren't able to see those data sets within the Excel workbook, they are able to be visualized within the Power Pivot model. And so you can see it here as just kind of tabs like we would be accustomed to in Excel. But it's also, my favorite, is being able to just go to the diagram view and just I'm a visual person, so being able to see those data sets is really nice in that way. So we can make that a little bit bigger just to see what are the different rows within the tables. So make that bigger. And so when it comes to actually being able to create relationships between those data sets, very easy, as long as you know we have a primary key here. So we'll just drag and drop account ID between the two different data sets, create a relationship. And then we'll also we'll do a little bit of summarization of some of the columns within that data set. So if we go over to close probability here, go to the advanced tab and go summarize by average. And we want to do also the opportunity age as an average as well. And then basically that's all we're going to do within Power Pivot. I'm not going to go a really deep dive into Power Pivot here because there's a lot of stuff to get through in terms of visualizing this data, but we have some other sessions that go deep into Power Pivot. There's actually one a little bit later today, the overview of business intelligence in Office and Office 365, taught by Peter Myers, who is probably the most well-known person I'm aware of on creating Power Pivot models. So if you have Power Pivot questions, bring them to him, and he will walk you through all the ins and outs of Power Pivot. So basically what we've done, we created a simple connection there between those two data sets. And what we're able to do then is start building out some visualizations. So let me just go back to PowerPoint for a second, just to recap what we did there. So what you saw with both Power Query and Power Pivot is Kind of summarizing this slide. So we took a bunch, you know, data from any one of those different data sets on the left-hand side, and then we used Power Query to shape it, merge it, append it, transform it, and then we went over into Power Pivot, and we were able to get those data sets from the left side into the data model, you know, and obviously we clean them up a bunch and be able to create relationships between them. And so this is kind of an easy way to think about the two tools that sometimes people confuse, because it's really two different steps in the process, at least if you're using the tools correctly. I will say that Power Query can do some of the relationships that you can do within Power Pivot. I mean, you can do a merging of data sets. Sometimes it actually detects the relationships between two different data sets. But in terms of having the kind of manual ability to drag and drop relationships between different data sets, you'd want to be doing that in Power Pivot. And so we will go back here and start doing the fun stuff. So we'll go over, and as you can see here, there's really two tools that I'll call out, which are, you know, in addition to what we already have within Excel. So obviously we could build charts and pivot tables and, you know, add slicers and timelines. I'm not going to do a lot of that today, but even with the data set that we just created, you know, mashed up between those two different data sources, pivot table would be very powerful. I will just show you Power View and Power Map because they're kind of the new cool things. So we'll go into Power View. How many of you have used Power View before? Okay, less of you. Okay. Easiest way to think about Power View is just basically a canvas for you to be able to add different types of visualizations and interact between them. You know, some of the same visualizations that you are accustomed to in Excel, you know, with charts and graphs, but add some new stuff like maps, you know, playable axes, playable scatter plots, those types of things. But really, when we think about the future of visualization for Office and, you know, obviously Excel is the big one, we're really thinking about a merging of those visualizations. So the visualizations that you can add on their own within Excel would also be the visualizations that you'd be able to add within within Power View. And Power View is just kind of the Power User tool for being able to create interactive reports. So we can close this. And so we'll just add a title here. And then what we can do is, much like any other pivot table or pivot chart, we're able to just start adding things to the canvas. So for us, we're just looking at account set. We're going to add state or province as kind of a geographic element here. We can add opportunities, kind of what the customers are interested in of those opportunities. And you can see the different products show up there on the canvas. And then we'll say, you know, weighted estimated value of some of those opportunities. And so now we've added it as a table, but that's not a great way to visualize it, right? It doesn't even fit on the canvas. Like, we'd have to scroll, and not great. So let's do something a little bit better. Let's just turn it into a map. Okay, that's a little bit better. So make it a little bit bigger. But that doesn't, it's still not great because it's just too much information to really consume in this one report. And if we're creating a report for our executives, we're not really looking to give them so much. So I'm from the US, you know, I'm a little bit biased, so I'm just gonna say let's take a look at the US. There looks like there's a lot of customers there. So we'll go over here and we'll just drag country over to the filters area. Scroll down to the US. And you can actually see on the right-hand side the number of data points that show up in each of those countries. So if we want to see, okay, US has 48 customers in there, that kind of helps us. And then just a little bit scrolling in, and if I, you know, if you're on a touch device, you could also just pinch and zoom to get in there. And so there we go. That looks a little bit better. And we have a map, and if we hover over it, we can get more information. I went to school in Michigan, so I can see that, you know, factory designers, you know, and you can click on it, and it'll highlight it. And if we had other visualizations on here, like we will in a minute, you'd be able to filter other visualizations just by clicking on the map. And so now we're gonna create a few other elements on this report. So click into an area that isn't already taken up by another visualization, and so we can just start adding more data to it. So we'll go to account set and add the ticker symbol for the different companies. We'll add number of employees at those companies. And then we'll add weighted estimated value. And then we can add it as a card. You know what? For some reason, it's not showing all my companies. So let's go back here. Oh, and you know what? It's because I filtered. There we go. I was like, what happened to all my companies? There we go. That's the other thing to remember. It's an interactive visualization. So I filtered on just that one geography that I had clicked on, and that's why they weren't showing up there. So now we have the visualization that I want, which is the card visualization. And so if I click on one of those companies, they would show up on the map. Or the other way around, you know, we click over here, and we get the list on the right. So kind of a nice way to look at those specific customers, where they're located, the opportunity, what they're interested in, just with a kind of a quick visualization of those data sets. And then just click off and you get the full list. We can also do a little bit of like sorting. So if we want to sort ascending by weighted estimated value, just click up at the top. So now we get to see some of our largest customers right there. And so the last thing we'll do is add kind of a nice play visualization where we have a scatter plot. And so what we'll do is we'll go into opportunity set and add interested in, again, so some of the different products. We will add close probability. And we will add opportunity age. And what we'll do is then we'll convert it to a scatter plot. And the key is you first convert it to a scatter plot, and that way when you add the last one, well, actually we have to add weighted estimated value as the last one here. There we go. Now we can see them a little bit better because the weighted estimated value shows up as the size. And so we can add the time play, which is estimated close date, which again we summarized in the Power Pivot model. But that doesn't look right because it just shows up as different categories. So what you need to make sure you do is move it from color to play axis. It's a little bit cramped, but we can move it down. There we go. That's better. And so now, let's make it bigger. makes it a little easier. We can start playing it over time. And actually, in the data model, I could have removed the time. The time wasn't as relevant. I actually forgot to do that. But you can go into the model, change the date format within the within Power Pivot. But what's great here is now we can see what some of our customers are interested in over time. And you know, if we click on, say, 3D printers, we can see that track over time. You can see it kind of jumped around a little bit there. So that's one way to visualize our data. The other way that we can do it is with maps. And so my favorite, Power Map, we'll jump in and start taking a look at that. Any questions on Power View before I do that? Why can't you? That's a good question. Right now the canvas is very limited. But when I was saying before that some of the visualizations that we're putting into Excel natively and then into Power View, the combining of those two I think will allow you to then have unlimited spreadsheets that are interactive. So I think with time we will actually not just have a set canvas that you can start putting things on, it'll be much larger. Much like OneNote, you know. I now work on OneNote and it's very similar, you know, you can have as much space as you want to add new information, new data. So yeah, right now it's a little limited, but you know, you could close the filter pane, and what's great is you can make them smaller, you can blow out specific visualizations to get a little bit better. But yes, it's a little bit cramped at times when you have all these different visualizations on there. So let's take a look at Power Map. And so the key just to get started with Power Map is to have some sort of geospatial data. And that used to be just like latitude, longitude, city, state, country, county, zip code, a few others, really anything that Bing could pick up. You could also have place names. So if you go to bing.com and you type in a place and it shows up on a map, then it could be visualized in Power Map. Now we've actually changed it, and I'll show you in a few minutes that you can visualize your business data on custom maps. So as long as you have an idea of geospatially within my factory or geospatially within, you know, a plot of land, you know, whatever it is, as long as you kind of know where those things are in terms of X and Y coordinates, you can visualize those in Power Map as well. And so I'll show a little bit how to do that. So we'll launch Power Map. And while it loads, and hopefully doesn't crash Excel, I'll tell you, Power Map was a research project, like I mentioned in the beginning. It was originally called Worldwide Telescope. So basically, there was a researcher who was very interested in visualizing big data within the universe and being able to understand, you know, stars and planets and kind of how we could easily visualize them and tell stories with the different elements within the universe. What he then realized is, hey, this has great applications for science and academia, but it's also something that could be used in business intelligence in terms of visualizing data on the Earth. And so basically he did a literal, you know, 180 and turned the telescope towards the Earth, and that's how Power Map came to be, is being able to visualize data on the globe and tell stories with that data. So not just see it, you know, in a static visualization, but actually be able to see it over time, annotate specific points, and that's some of the stuff that we'll show you today. So in terms of what types of geospatial characteristics we have here, we have postal code is kind of a good one. That's the most specific. Or we could do latitude, longitude as well, but we're just going to group by postal code because it'll show up as a little bit fewer points on the map. Sometimes if you do latitude, longitude, it takes a long time to send all those points to Bing. And you end up kind of sitting here for a while waiting for it to geocode all of them. And so postal code doesn't immediately get picked up, but what I'll call out is if we zoom in here, you can see, here, let me give you the menu. You can see the different types of geospatial characteristics that are picked up. And the two new ones that I'll call out, zoom it, wasn't working. The two new ones are XY coordinate. Those two, full address, and we'll keep adding others, but really if you don't have any of those within your data set, you can select other and it still might work. So like I said, place names. So if you have a corporate headquarters for a company, it may actually show up if you select other. I've had that happen before. So in this case, we're just gonna do zip code. And you can see down in the lower left that those points now show up on the map, and we can kind of spin around, zoom it in. So they show up as kind of little carrots, and if you click on them, you can see what those postal codes are. And we just hit next. And now is when we start actually adding the data to the canvas, similar to what we did with PowerView, where we put that basic layer of data on there and then started building visualizations. That's what we're doing here in PowerMap as well. And PowerView and PowerMap are becoming much more synonymous. I wouldn't be surprised if in the future they actually become one visualization platform. But right now they're two separate features with very similar capabilities. So if we go here to opportunity set, we can start adding that data. So we'll say weighted estimated value on here is like we did in PowerView. And you can see immediately the data starts showing up on the map. We can tilt it down. You can see it's 3D. We'll then do closed probability because that'll give us the category of those different customers. And we're actually going to move that to category here. There we go. Move that here. We could rename this as probability. There we go. And so it shows up in the legend there. And then we want to add our time element because, like I said, PowerMap is not just about static map visualization. It's about temporal visualizations as well, so time-based. So let's add estimated close date. Sorry, let's see here. There we go, let's try actual close date, okay. For some reason, you have to make sure that the date column is actually a date type. For some reason, I must not have turned it into a date type, and so it wouldn't allow me to put it into the date field well. So that's actually something to watch out for. If it's not letting you put the date there, it's because in the data model, you didn't call it a date type. So in this case, we use actual close date as the date, and then if we play it, you can start see it, the data show up on the map. So we'll go over here to Europe. If we want to start creating a story here, so similar to like a PowerPoint presentation, or even better for me, I like to compare this to Sway because it's kind of the new cool thing. So, start creating some annotations on here. So this is our European operation. Add that on there. And so then what we'll do is we'll add a new scene. And you actually have different types of scene options now. You could do kind of a world map. You can copy the previous scene, or you can do a custom map. And I'll show you the custom map in just a few minutes. But really, then what that allows you to do is go and show a different part of the globe. So here what we'll do, we'll call this North America. And then what we can do, we're going to add one more scene. Three scene tours are more interesting than one, I'll tell you that, because what ends up happening is you end up panning between the different places on the globe, and it gives a kind of a cool effect. So here, what we're going to do is we're going to add another layer of data sets. So that's what's really cool about PowerMap 2 is that it's not just one layer of data like you can do in a PowerView map or any other map visualization, even Esri, same kind of thing. It's kind of hard to visualize it in 2D. But in 3D, you can add two different data sets on top of each other and start getting insights from that. So remember, we brought in that population data set and cleaned it up. We can actually do that again and take a look at what that data set looks like on the map to see where some of our opportunities are for that population that we wanted to look at between 21 and 44 years old. So let's just add another layer. So there's two different it's really important to realize there's two different things. There's layers, which are the actual data, and then there's scenes, which are scenes are like PowerPoint slides. Think about it that way. So here, what we'll do is we will bring in our, let's see here, our young adult population. We'll go, this is our merge column, which is other, because it's a combination of our county and our state. I just forgot to rename it in there. But you can see now they're all showing up on the map. Kind of looks like an invasion of the U.S. It's getting covered with young adults. It's kind of crazy. And so then we hit next. And we can start looking at it in terms of population. And, looking at it as population isn't great because it's really kind of overwhelming with all the columns. But what's great is there's different types of visualizations that you can look at on the map. And so doing like a 3D visualization with a 2D visualization makes it much easier to look at. So in this case, we'll look at change it to a heat map. Now that looks a little bit better. And so immediately what we realize is, hey, like there's might be some opportunity there. And let me take a closer look. We're going to change the radius of influence. Ooh, it's really popping out there. You can say, just call this young adult population. So we'll take a look there. Oh, looks like we can make it flat so we can get a little bit better idea about it. And we will take a look at the map labels to see exactly where we are. And it looks like New York. Lots of young adults in New York and maybe a little bit of opportunity there. So what we'll do, we actually know that there is a company there. And so we want to call that out in our Power Map tour to make sure that we take a look at it. So we'll just call this great opportunity. And we'll add an image. This is one of the features that we also added since last year, which is image annotation. And so what's great is, if you, pan around, it still shows that image. And if you want, you can even add like little cinematic effects, kind of like you do in PowerPoint. We could do a push in here. We could do, a dolly. You could do a circle. And so now what we've done is in about 5-10 minutes, we've created a really interactive kind of immersive tour of our geospatial data. And so if we hit play tour, we're able to see that come to life. Looking at our European operations, then dolling over to our North America operations. And obviously within Excel, if we click, we can stop it and we can start digging in too. So what's really great is you get this up on a big touch display and then you kind of put it in front of a bunch of executives and you say, hey, here's your data visualized on a map. And they're like, wait a second, I want to look at that data point. They click the screen and then they start exploring it like we're doing here, zooming in. You could zoom in pretty far actually. get to like the street level. I've actually looked at my house, my office on here as well. You can change the different map types. So then you can see our last scene in the tour was looking at that that opportunity with MSSU. And the last thing there, we'll actually go back into Excel. So we'll exit out of this, and it's saved within the file, so you don't have to like save the power map. What I'll show you is that you can actually bring in some data that isn't necessarily geocodable by Bing. It's also just something that might have XY coordinates, and so that's one of the new features that we now have within Power Map. And so we'll go into Power Query again, and we'll bring in two more data sets. So we'll go here. We're running a little bit low on time, so I'm going to go pretty quickly through this, but stop me if you have questions. So we'll load this to the data set. And actually, to save time, what I'm going to do, since some of the prep into this one takes a little bit of time, what I'll show you is just kind of how I went about doing it. It's a little bit duplicative to what I just did with the globe. But really, what it comes down to is, so you have a floor, like a floor plan like this. And so what you can do is in Paint, so you know, any Paint application within Windows, you can just find the, you can see down in the left-hand corner, that's the XY coordinate that you'd want to use to put it on the map. And then within Power Map, and since I'm not going to go through each and every step here, what you'll see is, I'll actually just bring up the other file so you can see it. I told you we'd go from beginning to end, and it sometimes takes a little bit longer than you expect to go through each and every step. Especially because I get so excited about some of this Power Map stuff. So what we'll do, this is that same file, just completed. And so we'll go into Power Map. And we will add a new scene with a new custom map. And what you can see, this is the new UI. So what we're able to do is, we have our, this one doesn't have the MSSU data in there. But we can add a new custom map, and we could add that show floor. And then what we have is the end result ends up being something like this. And so really it's a very similar type of tour, but what we're looking at here is the ability to see the productivity of different workers within our factory floor. And so there's profitability. You can see down in the lower right-hand corner, we're calling out profitability. And so aside from custom maps, the other thing that we can now do within Power Map that's brand new is the ability to filter. And that was one of the big requests last time. So if we wanted to add filters, if we wanted to add a filter on like weighted estimated value, kind of like we did last with PowerView, we can do just that. So being able to filter on a specific size of company. So two requests, both coming from TechEd Europe 2013. So if you have requests this year, let me know. We'll get those into the product. So we'll go back here. We're looking at about 10 minutes left, so I want to make sure we leave time for questions. We've gone through a lot. Power Pivot, I won't spend a bunch of time here, but you'll be able to look at the slides afterwards. Basically, just calling out that this is kind of the end of VLOOKUPs. It's really much more intuitive now with that drag and drop capability. Visualization with Power View, being able to do now filtering and custom maps and Power Map, big requests. I definitely encourage you to take a look at, if you go on YouTube and you if you type in Power Map, custom map, or anything like that, you'll start seeing all these companies that have started doing custom maps, looking at different business relevant scenarios with custom maps. So like here, this is like a Starbucks. You know, you can see where customers are hanging out within the Starbucks. So there's a few things like that. And as I said, you know, a lot of these tours they're exportable to MP4 files, both for mobile as well as online viewing. So you can see here, this was one that we created on US Power Production that's now on YouTube and racking up a bunch of views. So as I said, we're not going to really spend a ton of time on the Power BI stuff because there are so many other sessions covering it. But I will just jump over for a second to show you kind of what we could do with a data set like we just created in Excel and what we can do in Power BI. So we'll just jump back over to our Office 365. And so in Office 365, you can see I've added Power BI as a app on my site. So obviously IT decided, hey, we're going to let users add this app to their SharePoint sites. And so that's why I have access to it. And so if I go here, you can see these are all my reports on a BI site. So just a little bit better way for me to see those reports. And not only that, I think the best capability here for end users is really about Power BI Q&A and being able to ask natural language questions of your data. And so what you'll see here is there's a bunch of different questions, featured questions that have been added by other users. If I wanted to learn about, the Olympics, and some of these are just sample data sets, but I've added a few that are specifically for our data set here. So if I want to look at, I'll just start typing it to show you how that works. Show weighted estimated value. You can see it auto completes. And it shows as a table, which is great, but then, really what it's about is being able to, view it as a bar chart. That's not great, but let's see here. Oh, it didn't complete, that's why. Weighted estimated value by... interested in. There we go, that's better. So that's looking at weighted estimated value by what the customers are interested in. And then, we can do almost the exact same things that we did within Power View, you can do within Power BI Q&A now. We've added all those capabilities. So let's just, look at, factory designers are the top ones. If we want to add filters, we can do that as well over here. Just look at other designers, or if we want to look at a category, like let's just look at the top bit. Oh wow, they're really beating other ones. So you can see that. And if we go back to featured questions, we can just start clicking through some of the other ones that are kind of interesting. Should show up in a second. Oh, the other thing you got to remember is it's pulling from any data set you have on Power BI. So if you want to make sure that it's coming from a specific data set, like in our case, we wanted the Power BI and Dynamics data set, you'll want to pin it like that. And then if we want to show it as a map, that'll look a little bit better. And then you can, you know, say interested in. Look, it has a map. So very similar to what we did in PowerView, but really allowing for end users to just get in and start asking questions of their data rather than having to create those reports in PowerView. Same type of visualizations, though. What's also cool now, and this is actually a good indication of the direction that everything is headed, is that you can share links to specific queries like this, natural language queries. So if I want to email it, we can just decide, hey, I want to email a link to that particular data set, and someone could go in and view it as long as they have permissions. We actually also have some HTML5 embedding of these that you can go in and play with. If you go to powerbi.com, you could, even if you don't have Power BI, obviously, you can go in and try Q&A, you can try HTML5, Power View reports online. So I encourage you to check that out to just kind of get the experience for what it feels like on the web. And so, yeah, this slide just kind of delineates between what you can do on SharePoint and what you can do with Power BI. But I definitely encourage you to go to some of the other Power BI sessions if you want to learn some of the deeper dive differences. One of the keys, you know, natural language query, forecasting. I didn't show forecasting today, but we now have predictive analytics within Power View reports on Power BI. So being able to take like a line graph and be able to scale it out and look at that, very cool. But that'll definitely be covered in the Power BI sessions. And then also being able to have some of the scalability, manageability on Power BI that you didn't necessarily have within just Office 365 or SharePoint. So this is just a slide that kind of covers everything. And what we walked through was just that bit right there. So just a small subset of everything that's possible with self-service BI. But hopefully that leaves you with a good indication of, you know, where we're going with Excel and BI and some of the capabilities that we're allowing end users to use just within their normal Excel environment. So here's some related sessions. I would highly recommend that first one, the OFC B337. That's taught by Peter Myers. He's also doing all of the hands-on labs as well. So check those out if you want a little bit deeper dive on any of the things that I talked about today, because obviously I had to kind of hit the surface on most of them. So it's a good opportunity to dig into the things that you're really interested in. And then also, you know, if you want to learn more about Excel, Facebook, Twitter, are brand new. We're getting a lot of BI stuff into that. PowerBI.com, like I mentioned, is a great place to learn more about each of the different tools as well as the service, and start trying it out yourself. And I can go back to that slide as well after if you guys need the picture of it. Definitely go on the technical network, ask questions about BI. There's plenty of people to answer. And I will just leave. Make sure you complete an evaluation. It really helps me. I've only presented here a few years now, and I love to get feedback and get better. So please do complete your evaluations, and I'll leave the rest of the time for questions. And if you need to go back to any of the slides, let me know as well. And I think we have a mic that we can bring around too. My friend in the back here will help out. And I have wristbands for the office party for any good questions. So if anyone wants to be brave, sure. Oh, she's coming over. One second. I'll also make a really subtle pitch for some of my other sessions today. I have two other sessions. One is a OneNote session at noon. So I actually worked on Excel for 2.5 years and then just moved over to OneNote about 6 months ago. So come to that session if you want to learn about a little bit different area, but still extremely fun. Lots of different devices will be shown and fun stuff with OneNote. And then an interactive storytelling, which will be both OneNote, Excel, as well as Sway and Office Mix to get kind of an idea for our full suite of products allowing you to do storytelling with information and data. Yep, go ahead. No question? Well, I'll give you a wristband anyway then. Come find me after. Anyone else? Okay, feel free to find me after. I'll be up here and then moving out of here when my friend here kicks me out. Thank you.